We've been going through a series on relationships. And we have started off with what the relationship should be in churches. And we use the acrostic of church. A relationship in a church, the first thing it needs to be is Christ-like. Relationships in church should not be just for Sunday morning. We talked about going from house to house. A relationship in church should be one in which brings unity to the body, that the body can work together. A relationship in church should cause us to be redemptive, so we can draw others to Christ. A relationship in church should cause us to have compassion. Christ had compassion on us. We should have compassion on others. There's a lot of hurting people out there today, folks. And we need to have a spirit of compassion to help those people. And then the next thing is that relationships in the church should be helpful instead of harmful. It's not about getting better or getting an upper hand. It's about helping one another. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the what? The law of Christ. So we started out in this thing about talking about what relationships should look like in the church. Last week we went through and we talked about that relationships should be empowered by God. Basically the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us if we are Christians or not. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we know that we are the what? The children of God. And we need to have Holy Spirit-filled relationships. That means that we should associate intimately with people of like belief. We're not supposed to make fellowship. Christ has no fellowship with Satan. Light has no fellowship with dark. And so our relationships need to be empowered by God. You know, as far as relationships being established, there are some relationships that are established by blood. You can't change your brothers and sisters. You can't change your parents. You're just kind of stuck with them. You could disown them. But they are your father and mother. They are your brothers and sisters. They are your kids and your grandkids. Sometimes relationships are established by blood. The relationship of a Christian is established by the blood of Christ. And you need to have that. Once you have that blood covering you, it will never be broken. That covenant will never be broken. So some relationships are made by blood. Some relationships are brought to pass by having a common goal, like being against abortion or being, you know, for some sort of cause. Some relationships are brought about by having a common enemy. And we can kind of see that happening in the world today over in Ukraine. You have the West and you have the Russia polarizing. And you have people that are on the West side and people that are on the Russia side. And I hope people on the West side start doing things. Then you have relationships formed by situations. Sometimes you're kind of thrust in it. Maybe you wind up marooned on a desert island. And you're marooned with someone else. Well, you could try to survive by yourself, but it's probably a better thing to work together. But what we're talking about this morning as far as relationships, we're talking about God's design for relationships. So the title of my sermon this morning is Relationships Designed by God. So first of all, let's talk about God's design for relationships. You can go back to the first book of the Bible, and in Genesis and in the story of creation. And what we find in the story of creation is we see the concept of the Trinity and the Godhead. The Trinity demonstrates the intimacy of relationships between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have close relationships. They should be very intimate. Our relationship with God should be a very personal relationship. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." You know, animals don't run the earth, we do. And we're supposed to do it as good stewards. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God said, let us make man in our image. God did not say, I will make man in my image. God did not speak of himself singularly in the way that we would speak of ourselves. God spake using the plural, let us make man in our image. God exists in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are all God, and they are all related together. That's the mystery of the Trinity. Long before time began, God existed, always existed, in an eternal relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons within the Godhead who exist in such intimate relationship with each other that they are what? One. Remember what Christ said? He said, my Father which gives me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them from my Father's hand. And then he went on and said, I and my Father are what? One. See, we need to be one with God. God is one. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. So we see that the Trinity demonstrates the intimacy of relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because that's God's design for relationships. Secondly, we need to understand the character of God. We've talked about our relationships should be based off of love and helping. It should be for mutual benefit. God is love, and that God is shown in his relationships. And we'll see this here in creation here in a minute. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. So folks, we need to love one another. Amen. Okay? Because that's the character of God. It says, for God is love. Later on in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath in to us. God is what? God is love. Therefore, God the Father is love. God the Son is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Therefore, from eternity past into eternity future, God has always existed in an intimate, loving relationship because love is the very nature of God. Before there was time, the Father always loved the Son and the Spirit. The Son always loved the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit always loved the Father and the Son. See, they have this eternal love relationship one with another. God's relationship and his love to us is shown to a verse that we should all know. We've seen it. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
See, we see that God's design for relationships is expressed in his Trinity. It's expressed in his character of love. Have you ever wondered why God created the universe? Why did God make the earth the way it is? Why did he create man? You know, I don't know all the reasons, and I don't pretend that I do. But I believe that creation is an expression of God's love. Love cannot be kept to oneself. Real love must find expression just like genuine faith. We can enjoy the wonders of God's creation because he loves us. But it goes deeper than that. I firmly believe that creation is an expression of love, God to God, and God in those three persons. Let me explain and give you some examples here. First of all, the Father expressed his love, and so he planned creation. The Son expressed his love, as he spoke the word of creation into to bring it into being. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In John chapter 1. The Spirit responded in love by brooding or hovering over the creation to make it complete. The Father continued the expression of love as he formed man from the dust of the ground. Knowing that man would reject God, we know that in the Bible from the foundation of the earth, Christ was the Lamb that was slain. He knew that man was going to mess up. The Son expressed his love in the plan of Emmanuel, God in the flesh. The Son would become a man and willingly die in order to redeem creation back to God. Knowing that the plan was complete, the Spirit expressed love by breathing the breath of life into man, making him a living soul. The Father responded in love by making a covenant with the Son that his name would be exalted above all names, and further to accept all those who believe in the Son as his children. And we've talked about that. The Spirit responds in love to powerfully resurrect Jesus from the dead, and then to fill the believer in order that they might live a holy life, and to guarantee God's promises. See, if God is love, everything that he does is about love, including creation. God is three in one, and how can you be like one? Because you're loving one another that much. See, God's design extends to us. God's design extends to us. We are most like God when we give love to others. God does not intend for man to be alone. We have the example of Adam. If you go back to Genesis, it says, and God saw that man was alone, that Adam was by himself. And he said, it is not what? Good for man to be alone. And he says, I'll make a helpmeet out of man to help him. And we talked about that relationships are partnerships for mutual benefit. That means that husbands, you're supposed to help your wives, and wives, you're supposed to help your husbands. And it's the first sign of this relationship that God's made. And we're supposed to help one another. We are to be made to be in a relationship one with another. That's how God made us. He didn't make us to be isolated individuals. He made us to be a community, and a community of faith. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, there's a lot of people falling out there in the world today. And they want help being picked up. And the only way that you could do that help is to have a relationship. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Christ tells his disciples, and we talked about this last week, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We also went in Galatians chapter 5. How can Christians fight? You know, there's a lot of fighting in churches today. Trying to get their point of view across, or trying to get what they think the church should be. No, we're supposed to love one another. Supposed to have unity and oneness in the church. So God's design extends to us. We are most like God when we give love to others. Our relationship needs to imitate God. And here's a health check of your relationships, folks. Here's a checklist to see if we're doing this. The first thing is our relationship should imitate God in our walk, in the way we treat others, in how we do our business, and where we go and what we do. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk or have fellowship or have a relationship in what? Love. See, the basis for all of God is love. Therefore, the basis for a relationship should also be love. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, we're supposed to present our bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to this world. Folks, you can't say that you're a Christian and walk like the world. Right. We need to say that we're a Christian because we're going to be Christ-like and we're going to walk like Christ. It's more than a bracelet. It's a lifestyle. And we need, our relationships need to imitate God and walk. Our relationships need to imitate God in service. When Christ was having his last night on earth, he goes and he washes the disciples' feet. And there's some that balk Peter and said, just wash all of me. No, you're not going to wash me. And Jesus said this. He says, if you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. And so he does all this and he washes their feet and he says this. In John chapter 13, verse 50, he says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What have we done for other Christians this week? What have we done for service for other Christians? What have we done to imitate the walk of Christ this week? Thirdly, our relationship needs to encourage others. We talked about relationships in the church should draw the lost to Christ. It should show that we are God's. Paul is trying to encourage the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth is just like the modern church. It's carnal. It's got all sorts of different philosophies in it. And they got their worship all mixed up. And so Paul says this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, the first thing we need to do is follow Christ. Right. And then Christ will tell us everything else we need to do. And then we'd be an example of Christ to everyone. So we see God's design for relationships, that God's design extends for us. And now we're just kind of getting to the meat very quickly about how to have relationships. We need to use Christ as our model. And Christ is our example of the perfect friend. So if you're taking notes today, you can write out friend, and we're going to use an acrostic, and the letters of each word, of the word friend will be our points here real quick on how can we have a relationship that God has designed. So six things to model in our relationship. First of all, a friend is forgiving. A friend is forgiving. You can see F as highlighted in white. So there's your F. You know, Christ came to restore broken relationships. You know, we talked about Jesus washing their feet and Peter kind of balking about it. And then Peter saying, I'll never deny you. And then Christ saying this, he says, before this night, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. And we see that it happened. And then when it happened, Peter went out and wept bitterly because he knew he wasn't following Christ the way he needed to. But basically what we find out is we find out that Jesus wants to restore that. And in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, Christ takes Peter aside from the group and he says, look. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto thee, feed my lambs. See, our relationships are based on love. And our love will cause service for Christ. But we know if you go and you study the words for love, Christ used agapeo and Peter used phileo, brother love, it wasn't on the same level. So, verse 16, and he said to him again the second time, Now, when God's repeating himself to us, we're not getting it. Or are we? How many times we tell our kids? And she's not getting it. Okay? He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. Same dichotomy between the words for love. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three. How many times did Christ ask Peter, Do you love me? Three. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me now? Wait, Jesus, wait a second. I told you I did. Why can't you get it through your head? That's what we want to say, right? No. Why don't you get it through your head? Okay? We have a problem here. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Yeah. But folks, we need to understand Christ is God. And we need to let him run our lives as God. And then we'll start thinking like him because we need to have the mind of Christ. Right. And it says, Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. See, Christ's command is not changed. But it's based off of what? Love. The relationship that Peter is going to have with his ministry is going to be based on what? Love. Love for who? Love for God. And then love for people. So a friend is forgiving. Jesus came to restore broken relationships. We too should forgive one another. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. This is an instruction to the church at Ephesus. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We know the saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. As God restores his image within us, he will enable us to forgive. Remember, in the model prayer, forgives us our trespasses as we forgive those who, what? Trespass against us. He says, if you won't forgive your brother, how do you expect your heavenly Father to forgive you? See, we've all experienced the pain of broken relationships. Forgiveness sets us free to receive God's healing. So we should, too, forgive one another. To err is human, to forgive is divine. And then we've heard this, that love keeps no records of wrong. You know, we ask God to forgive us all our sins. He says, I'm going to put them as far as the east is from the west, be remembered no more. Yet we hold grudges. God doesn't hold a grudge against us. You can't have a relationship if you're holding grudges. You can't be a friend if we're not forgiving. So we need to forgive one another because a friend is forgiving. Secondly, a friend is real. You know, there might be a lot of Photoshop Christians out there today. Just like that Indian couple that said, Hey, we went to Mount... No, you didn't. My Bible tells me this, be sure your sin will find you out. See, Jesus did not compromise who he was, but he met people right where they were. And it blew the religious crowd's mind. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19... The religious people say, he's eating with the wrong crowd. He's eating with the wrong crowd. And so they say, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Not like us. See, but wisdom is justified of her children. See, the issue is this. We want God to be like us, but God wants us to be like him. They are incompatible.
Right.
They are incompatible. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was not afraid to meet them on their level at their point of need. Goes on, Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13, says, But when Jesus heard that, what was that? That. Well, if you knew who that person was, you wouldn't be talking to them. You wouldn't be doing that. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth, because they hadn't gotten it yet. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, actually the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, man, you may be out there sitting out there today, I don't need this. I'm a friend of everybody. Everybody just loves me. No, you need help, because that's a bad attitude. Okay? See, a friend needs to be forgiving. A friend needs to be real. See, real friends can accept you the way they are, way you are, because they are confident of who they are. There are too many people kind of compromise. We try to be like them. You know, Paul does say, he says, I've become all things to all men, that by some means I may what? Win some. But he didn't participate in their sin. He didn't participate in their relationships. He stayed for who he was. A man called by God to present the gospel. See, a friend is forgiving. A friend is real. And for I, a friend imparts truth. Imparts truth. Jesus came to where people were, but still spoke the truth in love. See, once Christ was recognized for who he was by John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He never changed the message. Every illustration, every parable, every message was about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are you ready? Are you going? Didn't matter what politics he was in. Didn't matter what crowd he was in. Not matter where he was. He said the same thing. He did not compromise. Yeah. He stayed with his integrity. See, real friends see you the way you are, but they won't leave you where they are. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Good Samaritan's lighting on the road. Priest goes by. Levite goes by. Samaritan, the outcast, goes and helps him. Who was the real friend? The Samaritan. They got it right, but they're living it wrong. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Finally, my brother, you see any man overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all, how many things? All things. Everything we do should be about Christ, which is the head, even Christ. So let's see if you're paying attention. A friend needs to be what? Go ahead, Vincenzo. Very good. Forgiving, real, and imparts truth. I appreciate that. Okay? What about tomorrow? Will you have forgotten all this stuff? What about tonight? So a friend imparts truth. Fifthly, a friend is embracing. A friend is embracing. You know, there were people that were coming to Jesus and the disciples said, send them away. Don't bother the master. Don't bother him. One of them was kids. One group of them was kids. In Luke chapter 18, verse 16, he says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Folks, church needs to be inclusive, and that includes kids. Train up a child in the way he should go. Okay? We need to be mentors to our kids. It's a tremendous opportunity. They have an entire life in front of them. So we need to be a friend that's embracing to them. Don't call them rugrats. Made in the image of God. Amen? Then there are the ones that have problems. The ones that really have problems. Lepers. Have to go around and yelling, unclean, 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 unclean. And everybody, whoa, get away from me. They came to Christ. Christ didn't reject them. He embraced them. In Luke chapter 5, verse 13, he says, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know, sometimes God's going to put us in with people that we may not agree with, may not like. They may be unsavory to us. Maybe on the road. Maybe in the supermarket. Maybe in church. Folks, we need to be embracing. We need to be embracing. So a friend is forgiving. A friend is real. A friend imparts truth. A friend is embracing. A friend is not selfish. Oh, that is so anti-American. Where it's all about me. Get me. I want more. I want to be the top dog. I don't want to get a participation course ready. I want to win. And I'll do everything I can to win. No, a friend is not selfish. Jesus put our need ahead of his comfort. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than... Remember what motivates God's relationships? Love does. Because that's the character of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We also need to learn to think of others first. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, look not on every man his own things, but on every man also on the things of others. And then the very next verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need to be not selfish. We need to have an open hand instead of a clenched fist. We need to be forgiving. We need to be real. We need to impart truth. We need to embrace people. We need to not be selfish. And lastly, a friend is dedicated. Jesus didn't give up on people. Even on the cross, he had compassion on the dying thief. On the cross, after all the disciples ran away, he's still going to come back to them and encourage them. On the cross, and everybody's mocking him. He says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. What would have happened if Christ, when he got on the cross, said, I'm done with this. I ain't doing this. Where would we be? Where would some of us be? Where would other people be if we just give up? We get close, but we don't go all the way. Folks, we need to be dedicated as Christ was, because Christ is our what? Christ is our example. We need to imitate Christ. Jesus didn't give up, but people and a real friend will stay beside you right through the very end. You know, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'll tell you what, there have been times that we've all bailed on people that needed help. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, in the church, we're supposed to be friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And a friend what? Loves at all times, exhibits the character of God. And a brother helps those that are having struggles. Oh, what are we doing today, folks? Lastly, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you want to have true relationships, we need to be Christ-like. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend who sticketh closer to a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. And folks, he's not here in bodily form today, but he's here with the Spirit. And we are supposed to imitate, and we're supposed to be Christ to those out there. We're supposed to be a friend to sinners. We're supposed to do all the things that Christ does. So do your relationships imitate Christ? Well, you may not know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You may not know if you died today, you go to heaven. You say that you're working on, you're not going. The issue is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down in human form, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for mankind's sin, was buried, rose again the third day to show He has power over, He took the penalty of sin, which is death, and then showed on the third day that He has power over death and over sin because He rose from the dead. That was the Spirit that did that. And He has the power to forgive your sins and the power to give you eternal life. And you never ask Christ to forgive you your sins and ask Him to save you. You need to do that today. Christian, are we being a friend to sinners? Are we being a friend in the church? Are we being brothers and sisters in Christ? If not, why not? And we need to repent of that and get that right today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. Just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to be Your servants. And help us, Lord, to love as a friend, to love as You, to have an intimate relationship with You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.